Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. It's hard to believe the July 4th holiday has come and gone, and here we are on July 5th and 6th. Nice weather. It was great to do a little running on July 4th. You cannot not find a race if you're into running, and we'll get into that with today's guest. I do want to give a quick update on last week's show. Dr. Mitch Carey, he did a great job on oral health and what you should do with your toddler. And one of the points that he made was get your toddler into the dentist by about age one. And when I was growing up, your parents brought you in by age three or four. But the science and thinking has changed on that. And the proper approach is get your toddler in to the dentist by about age one. So Mitch did a great job, and we will definitely have Dr. Carey back on again. And speaking of running, just for my running friends in the Concord area, just as a reminder, upcoming we have the Bill Lutie 5 Mile or Road Race. That's Saturday, July 19th. That's at 9 a.m., and that's the sixth race in the Capital Area Race Series. And if you're interested in joining that race, even if you're not part of the series, you just have to email racetime@gsrs.com, and we'll get you into that race and hope to see you on July 19th. And then the last race of the series is the so-called Canterbury Woodchuck Classic, and that's Saturday, July 26th at 9 a.m. And if you're interested in selecting that race, it's lewis4nh@comcast.net. And the cool thing about that race is the first mile is completely downhill and the last mile is completely uphill, so you'll have your fastest and slowest split in one race. So that's kind of the tagline for the Canterbury Woodchuck Classic. As far as the Affordable Care Act and the exchange, it continues to go well for Northeast Delta Dental. We have thousands of individuals in New Hampshire who have purchased through healthcare.gov or our private exchange, deltadentalcoversme.com. So as I wrote in my book, There Are No Do-Overs, which as an aside you can get at Gibson's, we took the Affordable Care Act as an opportunity as opposed to a threat or a challenge, and as a result we have thousands of individuals who heretofore did not have dental insurance. The great thing about this radio show, it gets me away from the stress of the Affordable Care Act, if you will, and insurance, and allows us to focus on community partners. So I'm very happy that this July 5th and 6th, I have two people affiliated with Red Cross New Hampshire, the CEO, Maria White, who's been the CEO for now a half dozen years. I knew her when, by the way. And one of my great colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental, who's worked for me for many years, both at Northeast Delta Dental and Delta Dental Plan of Massachusetts, Linda Roach, who is a board member of Red Cross New Hampshire, although Linda tells me that she has just completed her 6 years. So one of the things maybe, Linda, we can talk about is asking the listening audience if you want to become a board member. But anyway, welcome, ladies, for coming in on right after the holiday. I'm sure you have better things to do besides chat with me, but I really appreciate it.
We really appreciate you inviting us here today, Tom.
Yes, thank you, Tom.
I think you're just saying that because, Linda, your performance review is coming up, and
I want a new board member.
And you want a new board member, so I think you're just being nice to me. But anyway, Maria, let's start with you. You've done a fantastic job at Red Cross. As you know, I was, in the spirit of transparency, also on the board actually before you were CEO. And I think that while everybody, of course, Red Cross has great name recognition, and everybody, I think, thinks they know what the Red Cross is all about, I think they may not know all of the different services that the Red Cross of New Hampshire performs, as well as what you've done in New Hampshire to make it more efficient, because all the not-for-profit organizations that I've featured on this show, they all say the same thing, you know, no money, no mission, and they have to be efficient in order to perform that mission. So why don't you take a few minutes to describe your history with Red Cross New Hampshire and what you've done to really make it a real efficient and effective organization?
Certainly. Thank you. Yes, the American Red Cross has gone through quite a bit of transition over the past 6 years. When you look at the American Red Cross as a national and international organization, a lot of people primarily think about the blood service side of the organization. It is a huge part of our business. We provide the U.S. about 40% of the blood supply on an annual basis. Here in New Hampshire, we collect over 70,000 units of blood every year from New Hampshire residents and fully keep our New Hampshire hospitals stocked. So that's an amazing part of our organization. We also have our health and safety services, which is everything from CPR, first aid, babysitting, lifeguarding. Those are services that we provide to the American public to really teach people to be prepared in times of emergency. My side of the Red Cross, and that Linda was a board member of, is really what the organization knows as humanitarian services. It's all the free services that we provide to the American public. That includes our disaster services, our volunteer services, our transportation services that we have, as well as service to the armed forces. So the humanitarian side of the business here in New Hampshire has combined a lot. We went from 5 chapters 6 years ago. We are now a 1-state chapter, basically, and have a 1 board of about 20 board members, and we're doing really well here in New Hampshire.
Now, one question I always get, because this is New Hampshire, Maria, as you know, is, well, how do you interface with national, and does all my money that I give locally, does it somehow go to national and stuff like that? And I realize a portion does, but let's talk a little bit about that so people know that, if you will, I mean, Red Cross New Hampshire is Red Cross New Hampshire, but I think it's important you explain that.
Certainly. Yes, donations in New Hampshire actually stay in New Hampshire. We have to raise about $1.6 million here in New Hampshire in order to maintain those free services that I was talking about. So we give financial assistance out to disaster victims, people who have lost their homes or affected by floods, ice storms, whatever the case may be. Our services to the armed forces, those are all free services. So once again, you know, $1.6 million here in the state stays in the state actually to help us with our operations here in New Hampshire. We are affiliated with an amazing organization. We're all one 501c3, so that can get very confusing considering we're about a $4 billion organization all in. But really, the national organization is where we get our guidance from. We have a lot of shared services. So like IT, HR, all of those things that the national organization manages so that locally we can really focus in on the service delivery.
So you really combined being local yet having the efficiency of having national do some of the backroom operation. That's terrific. Linda, let me get you in. But before I do, Maria, why don't you give out the contact information, because as I'm prone to say, no money, no mission, then I want to talk to Linda about her board experience.
Certainly. The Red Cross, our headquarters in New Hampshire, is here in Concord at 2 Maitland Street. Our 1-800 number is 800-464-6692, and our website is redcross.org/NH for New Hampshire.
And we'll return to that, but if someone wants to donate, they would contact there. And also, I remember my board service. Remember, in your will, too, you can put the American Red Cross. And in fact, in mine, at least unless my wife changed it on me, it's the American Red Cross New Hampshire is still in there. So Linda, you've been a board member, obviously also a Northeast Delta Dental employee. But you've been a board member for 6 years, and I guess your 6th year just came up. So tell me about your experience as a board member and why you did it.
Well, I was...
Besides
you, I'm twisting me. At the beginning, I had a role in the strategic planning process at Red Cross. But soon after that is when Maria joined. So I've been with her for all those 6 years. And one of the, I think, exciting, challenging, and difficult parts was that there was a new corporate initiative from National, which wanted to streamline and make the Red Cross more efficient. So one of the things that the board struggled with was you know, making it one Red Cross in New Hampshire. We had, I think, six chapters, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to engage the board members from each of the chapters. And as you might expect, with egos and people thinking they wanted to do things their way, it was a struggle. And through Maria's leadership, we somehow made that work.
You pulled it off for sure. And yeah. I think your story is interesting because you did get involved. In case people don't know, Linda is works with me at Northeast Delta, and one of her areas of expertise is helping me with strategic planning. So we sort of introduced her to American Red Cross, and she brought that skill set with her and then mm-hmm. segued into a board position. And I agree with you. Maria pulled off the consolidation in a very humanistic yet effective way. And I think being involved myself with a lot of not-for-profits, that is difficult because obviously everybody's trying to do the right thing and everybody's passionate. Mm-hmm. But as I continue to say, no money, no mission. I mean, the mission is great. The American Red Cross prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and the generosity of donors. Well, how could you mm-hmm. not donate to that, right? Yeah. But everybody has a different way of interpreting that, and that's why sometimes probably the consolidation part of it was difficult. Maria, before we go to commercial break, why don't you give us the contact information, and then we'll get to the upcoming events as well as the experience that you and Linda had running the Boston Marathon.
Certainly. You can find us online at redcross.org/NH, and you can give us a call at 800-464-6692.
And that's both to donate and to volunteer. And after commercial break, we'll talk about the 21st Annual Golf Classic, which is on September 8th, as well as how these ladies fared in the Boston Marathon. Tom Raffio will return with Northeast Delta Dental Radio after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio, returning from commercial break. And with me this weekend, July 5th and 6th. And if you're listening to this on Sunday, July 6th, right after this show, I'm heading right up to Loon Mountain because the mountain series is continuing. I did actually run the Mount Washington Road Race on June 21st. And the continuation of that series is at Loon on July 6th, but I'm going to just present the awards. One mountain a year is enough for me. So let's talk with our two ladies here. Linda Roach, who's a board member completed her 6 years on Red Cross New Hampshire, and she works with me at Northeast Delta Dental. Maria White, who's the CEO of Red Cross New Hampshire. Now, Maria, why don't you give us the contact information one more time? Then I want you and Linda to talk about your experience on the Boston Marathon. Obviously, part of the Red Cross response was dealing with that unfortunate tragedy. But again, you've turned that into an opportunity to, one, run the race, and two, do some fundraising. But before we get into that, give us the contact information just one more time.
You can find us on the web at redcross.org/NH, and you can call us at 800-464-6692. We also have a Facebook page, so if you are on Facebook, you can type in Red Cross New Hampshire, and you can like us with 1,000 other people here in the state of New Hampshire. And we're also on Twitter at NH Red Cross.
Well, my social media team at Northeast Delta Dental would be so pleased to hear this, Maria. That's good. It's good. So I know what it's like to keep all that stuff up to date. So obviously, everybody knows what happened with the Boston Marathon and Boston Strong, and it really affected a number of people, including, you know, someone from New Hampshire. And mm-hmm. since that bombing on April 15th, 2013, you know, over 47,000 meals and snacks were served to first responders, and over 3,600 mental health contacts were made by the Red Cross disaster mental health volunteers and so forth. So obviously the Red Cross had a huge role in the response. So, but tell us how you and Linda turned that into an opportunity to do a fundraiser, and tell us, you know, your training for the, I know I've seen you at road races, but doing a marathon is taking it to the next level. So tell us about that and your experience.
You can say that again. it was
completely
amazing.
Different than a 5K.
Yes, it's very, very different. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that the American Red Cross has really been involved with the Boston Athletic Association for over 20 years. So we have been providing first aid stations along the route for all that time. So we have hundreds of volunteers there that day, which is why our response was so extremely important on last year during the bombing. One of the things that the Boston Athletic Association also does, which many people know about, is they allow many charities to have a number of bibs basically for free. And those bib numbers then can be given out to a number of people to help raise money for a given charity. So the American Red Cross has had that ability for a number of years, primarily through the Massachusetts region for the Red Cross. But this past year, because of our work last year with the bombing, New Hampshire was also invited in, and we received two bibs. And so Linda and I were able to train and run and raise over $11,000 for the Red Cross.
That's fantastic. Now, of course, Linda has run a prior marathon in San Francisco, so you knew what it was like. I'm wondering, Linda, tell the truth. Did Maria really know what she was getting into?
No.
I didn't think so. Okay. So sometimes, though, it's kind of like the Mount Washington, running up that. Ignorance sometimes is bliss.
Right. Yes.
Because it's completely different. My running friends know this. It's completely different than a 5K, and even completely different than a half marathon. You can do a half marathon and recover the next day and run, but you truly, if you're not trained up correctly to do a marathon correctly, you're going to hit the brick wall at mile 20. So tell us, Linda, how did you ease Maria into the training and reality?
Well, first she had to recruit me into doing the marathon.
You would
because I had run actually two marathons, San Francisco, and then the first Manchester, New Hampshire marathon. After that, I was hanging up my marathon shoes, and I thought, no, let me just do half marathons. Those are doable, but I really didn't plan on doing another marathon until Maria presented this opportunity for Red Cross. So it was just after Christmas, which meant I would have to start training immediately. So I had to refocus my mental set and get back up to running again.
And it was
again.
A tough winter to train, too.
It was very tough.
It was a little tough.
Yeah.
And I asked Maria if she wanted to do some training runs with me, and she said, no, I have to run myself. I run with my headphones, and I don't talk to anybody. And I'm just going to do it. And then I would check in on her, and how are you doing? And she'd say she was okay at first, and then
As
it got more and more miles, she said, oh, this is awful, and my legs hurt, and I throw myself in a snowbank and ice my
cool
legs,
off. Yep.
right.
Yeah, so, that's too funny.
Linda was a great encourager. Having the knowledge of somebody who's run a marathon at my fingertips was key, really, to my success.
That's great to hear. Yeah. And it was great following you, too, not just on the day of the race. I mean, the technology is great. Mm-hmm. We knew where you were. A bunch of, I'm sure, your employee colleagues were doing this as well, Maria. But everybody at Delta was looking at where Linda and you were and following it. It's pretty cool, I mean, with the technology now. And so you couldn't drop out, I guess.
Exactly.
No, it was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and I think you know, training for this, when you elect to do a marathon yourself, there are a lot of times you think, why am I doing this? I just want to quit. This is stupid. But when you're training for something like this for Boston and you're raising money, you really feel like you don't want to disappoint anybody, and it's something that's a little larger than yourself. So I never felt that. I mean, I was tired, but I never felt that defeating kind of feeling that sometimes you feel in training for a marathon. I really I wanted to do it. I didn't want to be injured, and I wanted to finish it.
Right, particularly this year, and mm-hmm. you raised such awareness for all of the things that the Red Cross did mm-hmm. In response to the marathon bombing. And maybe, Maria, before we get into the golf classic coming up, because you mentioned right before the commercial break that you need to raise about $1.6 million mm-hmm. every year, or we can't do a lot of what we do in New Hampshire. Why don't you talk about the Red Cross's response to the marathon? I mentioned a couple of them, and people may not realize how, I mean, you did say you were involved with the VAA, but you may want to talk briefly about that, and then we'll get into golf, which is a walk as opposed to a run.
Yes. So the Red Cross, like I said, has been involved with the Boston Athletic Association for many, many years. After the bombing last year, the BAA really brought us into all of their planning for this year. Last year, after the bombing, we were able to respond immediately, which was really good for the runners who needed to find their family members, get their things, and be able to go home. And then, of course, we provided a lot of service to all the first responders once we were able to get the thousands of runners back to their family. Of course, we provided a lot of blood supply to the people who were injured at the bombings and were in the many hospitals in around Boston. So this year, our work really was centered around making sure we had many more volunteers as well as specially trained volunteers. So this year, the Red Cross spent a lot of time recruiting more nurses and EMTs who were on site at the 22 first aid stations up and down the route. And we were able to assist 1,900 people during that time. So a lot of people needed us when they were running, because it actually was a very hot day after a very cold training season. And we actually had to transport 85 people to other facilities. So if an emergency happens, the first aid station can't take care of all of it. We do have to transport people to the hospital. So,
and it was a very hot day.
It was very warm.
Which is why I was when we were following you, we were so glad when you finished. We were very confident. And of course, you know, this had a very much of a New Hampshire flavor because of what happened with Jeff and his
yes.
legs and so forth. And so it was very meaningful to New Hampshireites. So let's get back now to No Money, No Mission. So again, we need to raise $1.6 million to make this all happen. So we have a couple of minutes. Why don't you, Maria, talk about the 21st Annual Golf Classic coming up on September 8th at the Stonebridge Country Club, which, by the way, is also the home of this August LPGA event, which we're sponsoring. But tell us how someone can get involved and whether you, I'm assuming, can use some corporate sponsorships as well as some players as well.
Certainly. We are always looking for new sponsors. The 21st Annual Classic has been happening regularly for 21 years. We're really proud of it. It raises, it nets about $40,000 for us, which helps us with our services that we provide. Stonebridge is a great country club. They've been really generous to us. And although it is a difficult course in many respects, the golfers seem to really like it there. So we've had a lot of success there. So yes, September 8th. The lead sponsor is Toyota of Nashua, and I do know that we have different sponsoring opportunities available, and you can find out information about that on our website, again, redcross.org/New Hampshire, and on the left-hand side, you can tap on events, and golf information would pop up. So that's a great way to find out more.
And it's very important. We've got to make our fundraising goals, and we need companies to partner. And also, everybody needs to know as well that a corporation's financial donation, but also an individual donation, really does, in fact, transform lives. Because as we close, I just want to bring back us to the mission. The Red Cross prevents and alleviates human suffering in the face of emergencies by mobilizing the power of volunteers and the generosity of others. So I need everybody out there listening. I know I have CEO colleagues that listen. Stonebridge, September 8th, please contact the Red Cross. Remember their values: compassion, collaborative, creative, credible, and committed. You've heard how Maria has also made it a very efficient organization while maintaining its local effectiveness. So Linda, thank you. Maria, thank you for joining me on this weekend after the 4th. Congratulations again on your tremendous achievement of running the Boston Marathon while also raising money for a great cause. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom
Raphael will return next week.